There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday. Live local talk over this hour. Programming note with Auburn Hoops coming on at 6 tonight. What's Working with Cam Marston that usually comes on at 6 will be airing at 1 o'clock today, so a special one-hour edition of Midday Mobile. Special in the fact that it's 50% shorter. So it's special. So we're going to get it done this hour, though. Glad you're here. And, of course, my buddy Cam comes on right after me in the 1 o'clock hour. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. And just let me take 1 second here, too. Dalton, I mean, you can, if you want to come in here during the segments and eat those shrimp, that's fine. They're or I'm going to go put them in the refrigerator as we're enjoying some U-12s, some big Gulf shrimp. I know I like to just emphasize and drag out those words when I talk to my buddy Todd Stacey with the Alabama Daily News. We're down here having some fresh Gulf shrimp as we do a radio show. You know, we're just eating shrimp and hanging out.
Oh, man, that sounds pretty good. I'm jealous.
See, we fit the portrait that they paint of us up in Montgomery. We're all just sitting down here drinking margaritas, eating shrimp, and not doing much. You're in the Statehouse right now, right?
That's right. That's right. Here in the Statehouse, between the Statehouse and the Capitol, and the legislature is, they're trying to wrap up their organizational session. You know, they've met this week, not for the regular session, not for the passing laws time, but for the organizational session. That's when, you know, the leadership is elected and all the committees are put together and they adopt rules for the governing body and things like that. So they're trying to work through that. They should be done today.
Yeah, I mean, I saw yesterday we had the votes to confirm for Senate President Pro Tem and then for Speaker of the House. Those were no big surprises. I think we had the one abstaining vote or one no vote or something like that. I think that was even in the House.
That's right. Yeah, no surprises, really. I think what you saw was Representative Mary Moore from Birmingham, who abstained, or I think maybe voted for herself. Really just to make a point, you know what, like, you know, maybe that more a diverse selection should be made available in the future. You know, that's fine. I mean, you have things like that. I think the last speaker election, you had Alvin Holmes vote against. So but those are very few and far between. But these elections are, you know, kind of a foregone conclusion. Mac McCutcheon, he'll continue to be the speaker. You know, he represents Huntsville and the legislature, the Madison-Huntsville area. And, of course, Del Marsh was elected President Pro Tem of the Senate. That's really the person in charge of the flow of legislation in the Senate. Of course, new in the Senate this year, we'll have a lieutenant governor. Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth, or I guess Lieutenant Governor-elect at this point, Will Ainsworth is here. He's been taking meetings and been very present in the State House. So, yeah, look, it's kind of like the first day of school. Everybody's back. We've had an election. Everybody's back. But we'll have to wait until March for all the real lawmaking to get done.
Yeah, I want to get into that with you as well. You mentioned that about Will Ainsworth, from being a rep to becoming the lieutenant governor to having his name at least discussed. I don't know if he's pushing this, Todd, or it's other people out there, but talking this morning with our buddy Jeff Poore about people that may be contenders for Senate in 2020, and his name came up on that list.
Absolutely. And look, I mean, he'd be foolish not to just at least consider it, and here's why. You know, he just ran for statewide office for lieutenant governor, really came out of nowhere to beat the front runner in Twinkle Cavanaugh. ran a, by all accounts, a really good race. He's a self-funder. You know, the, he has plenty of his own money. So, and he's a very young man. I believe he's 38, 39 years old. So, you know, relatively speaking, young, could serve in the Senate for a while. So he's got a lot of just factors working in his favor. And having just ran a statewide race, you have, you know, instant name identification. Normally, if you started from scratch there, you've got to spend millions of dollars to get that kind of name ID. He's already got it. So, yes, I think he's on anybody's short list as far as candidates who would consider it. Of course, the news this week came from Del Marsh, President Pro Tem Del Marsh, who is at least testing the waters by hiring a consultant to do some polling and some, you know, political consulting on the race. And so I look for Ainsworth, you know, he would probably yield to a Del Marsh. They are, have a very close relationship. I don't expect the two of them to run against each other. So I would look for either one of them, Will Ainsworth or Del Marsh, to be the primary opponent of Bradley Byrne, who, I mean, I know he hasn't announced, but I guess Bradley's running, right? I mean, we're pretty confident
him,
he's running.
I've asked him three different times on the show, Todd, and he's said there's announcements forthcoming. So that's what I've gotten.
Well, as far as the Montgomery scene is concerned, people will just figure he's running. You know, he's on every – that's already – you know, in the in the basket, so to speak. But these other opponents would be considerable, you know, Del Marsh or Will Ainsworth. But look, you know, I've known Bradley a while. He runs tough, he runs hard, and he's been preparing for this for a while.
You know, the one thing I think about is, you're right, hearing people from the northern end of the state and people like you telling me that, you know, Will Ainsworth and Del Marsh drink from the same pitcher, in other words, for funding and those kind of things, so it'll be one or the other. Then you look at, okay, let's say it's, I don't know, let's pick one. It's Del Marsh, and I'm not saying it is, but it's Del Marsh versus Bradley Byrne. If those two, with great name recognition, go head-to-head, remember what happened when Bradley Byrne was running for governor? Remember when he had big known names that beat each other, bludgeoned each other with the help of AEA and other outside sources? But you were left with this guy from, I don't know, Tuscaloosa. He was a dermatologist, I think. His name was Robert Bentley, and he ended up winning. Basically, you know, the bar fight broke out, everybody knocked each other out, and he was still standing. You could have, could you have that kind of situation in the Senate race?
Oh, I definitely think so. And in fact, you may have had that with the last Senate race with, you know, Roy Moore and Luther Strange. And, you know, Luther had some primary opponents that they kind of beat up on him, and it made him a lot weaker for the runoff with Roy Moore. So absolutely, that political dynamic always exists. I do think, however, at least in Congressman Byrne's case, he knows that better than anybody. He learned that lesson the hard way. And so I've even heard him talk about sometimes, not in a very political way, but just a common sense way, like, hey, we can't do that again. We know what that got us. What that ultimately got us was, you know, the Doug Jones in the U.S. Senate. That whole episode led to that. And so he's actually got a good narrative, a good story to tell as far as lessons learned from that debacle.
Yeah, we're just joining us, talking to Todd Stacey with the Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com. And before we run to the news break, I'll come back. I got lots to ask you. But remind folks, if they want to get the newsletter that has what they need to know each morning in their inbox, how do they do it?
That's right. Just go to aldailynews.com. That's the website. Right there on the homepage, you can click subscribe. Just enter your name and your email, and you'll be signed up. It's free, no cost at all. But every morning you'll get the daily news from me, and that runs down the various stories, whether it's from here in Montgomery or from up in Washington, D.C., with a little bit of analysis for, you know, what it actually means, what's going to happen next, things like that. So, yes, please go sign up.
Okay, what we do next is ask for more of that analysis from Todd Stacey. Come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the Montgomery scene and then on to Washington when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1220 FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile on this Wednesday. Dr. Bill updates us on our forecast in just a few minutes here, 58 now, at our studios. And talking to Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, aldailynews.com, a place where you can link up, get that newsletter delivered to your inbox each morning, which is going to be, it's already a great thing to have, but going forward into session, holy cow, you're going to be typing until 2 in the morning every day.
Yeah, sometimes it's drinking from a fire hose, but somehow we'll get it done.
Hey, you mentioned when you talked about Will Ainsworth, you said he is Lieutenant Governor-elect, and it made me think about the fact that actually, you know, Governor Kay Ivey is, well, she's governor because she was already governor. It's not official, I guess, until the inauguration ceremony, and then before that, the big party down here in the south end of the state. She's actually down here today. She was touring some schools. Do you make anything of it? I mean, maybe it's just the syndrome of being from Southwest Alabama that makes me feel like, wow, she's doing part of her inauguration or her party. She's doing it here in our area. Is there a tell, or she just likes the beach?
Well, good question, but I think it's a great idea. I don't know if there's really anything behind it as far, you know, politically speaking. One thing that I noticed is that, you know, she's trying to show off that brand new lodge, you know, State Park Lodge that is down there. It took forever to build. I mean, the last two governors have tried to get it going, and she gets to cut the ribbon on it. She gets to celebrate it. So I think that's part of it, is getting to, you know, celebrate the Gulf Coast, brag on the new lodge. But I think it's a great idea to extend the inaugural festivities to other parts of the state. I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see Birmingham involved and Huntsville involved. Just to sort of bring in everybody to what it means to, you know, have a new term, have, you know, what it means for her to be elected in her own right, and for her to, you know, connect with people outside of Montgomery.
Yeah, I was just hoping it showed some kind of, it wouldn't be favoritism, just evening out of, you know, I think rightly so, we get a feeling down here that we might as well be a colony of the state of Alabama, you know, a very lucrative colony for the state, but a colony.
Oh, sure. Look, I've been in state politics for a while, and I can assure you that almost every corner of the state kind of has that feeling that, well, we get left out, or we get, you know, we don't get the road money that we deserve. I think in South Alabama, there's a special case because so much revenue comes from there. So much revenue comes from the port. So much revenue comes from the beaches. And so, yeah, you'd like to see a lot of that coming back home. A lot of that also comes from the BP settlement. I mean, people were very disappointed with the sort of the split and how that was handled, I guess, by Luther Strange and Robert Bentley. So, you know, you got some good points to argue there. But I will say this, the local representatives and senators, yeah, you got a strong bunch that you send to Montgomery every year. So, you know, I have no doubt they're going to be trying to pull some money back down to Mobile and Baldwin.
Guaranteed. All right. One more Alabama story that I do want to get some reaction from you to what's going on in Washington. But I first heard this discussed on our on Saturdays, our Prep Sports Report, the show with a discussion of high school sports in our area. And it came up, the discussion of suspended high school basketball player. Is it Maori or Maori Davenport?
Maori.
Yes. What is? Can you give people the cliff notes on what's going on? They may have heard that there's something going on. They just don't know the whole story.
Yeah. So, Maori Davenport. She's a senior in high school. She's at Charles Henderson. That's over in Troy. Probably the best basketball player in the state. And she was so good that she signed with Rutgers, which is obviously a great basketball school. And she was on the USA Olympic team. So Team USA, she got to play for it. You know, of course, that's an amateur deal. But after that happened, Team USA sent her a check to reimburse her for expenses and lost wages. Now, they weren't supposed to do that. And so when that's against the amateur rules to take any kind of payment. Well, it was a mistake. Team USA was the one that made a mistake, and they actually called the athletic department, and there was just a lot of confusion. But also, according to the rules, if you pay it back, if it was a clear, inadvertent mistake, and you pay it back, then it shouldn't be a penalty. That's why they're so upset. So this young lady has been suspended. She's been ruled ineligible to play high school sports for her senior season. You know, should be having the time of her life, and she's having to go through this. And she didn't do anything wrong. There was no fault here. They're just applying a rule and saying, hey, can't do anything about it. Got to apply the rules evenly. And I'm telling you, this thing is catching fire because people see it as a basic unfairness. Why are we penalizing this student athlete who we really should be celebrating as a state that, man, she's, you know, one of the best in the country, and we're not even allowing her to play? It coincided with the legislature coming in this week and a lot of lawmakers saying, hey, well, maybe we need to take a look at how the Alabama High School Athletic Association is run. Because there's a lot of folks with grievances over sort of the governance and the leadership of high school sports in the state.
Well, and it seems to me this is that zero tolerance kind of stuff. You know, the kid that bites his sandwich into the shape of a handgun, and they rule it that he's got a gun at school. You know, and well, I'm sorry, but we're not allowed to make a decision here. Seems like there's got to be some cooler heads at AHSAA that realize they've really stepped in it here.
I totally agree. And, you know, I think everybody understands that it's very important to have rules making sure that athletes don't take payments and things like that. Of course, that should be the case. But there's got to be some common sense, and there's got to be some grace when there were mistakes made. And I don't think you should treat any case as special. Just the fact that she's a star really shouldn't matter. But the fact that she's a star is bringing a lot of attention to perhaps a pretty unfair process. I mean, ESPN is all over this. She was in the State House yesterday meeting with pretty much the entire legislature. I don't think this is going away. I think the Athletic Association really has egg on its face here, and if they don't turn it around, things can really get out of hand.
All right, I got to ask you here in the last few minutes, your experience in politics for so long. You got to give me your take on it. Put on your commentator hat here. So President Trump is in his corner. The Democrats, of course, you had Schumer and Pelosi looking like my parents did when they figured out I had a house party while they were out of town last night when they opened up. I thought I was busted for something from mom and dad. But you have this huge chasm between the two. Negotiation, you think it's happening behind closed doors and they're just playing this for the cameras? Or do you think there really is this big a difference between the differences between the Democrats and the president and the Republicans?
Well, I definitely think there's a big divide. And here's the difference. We've got to remember what has happened in the last 2 weeks. Democrats now control the House of Representatives. So if you go back 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago or a couple of months ago, really when they should have been doing this negotiation, President Trump always had in his back pocket, you know, the fact that the House could pretty much pass a funding bill with whatever he wants. They can't do that now. I think they could probably work with the Senate. I think, you know, there are enough Democratic votes you could probably get over and vote for a compromise. In the House, I don't know if you're there, because unless you can get all the Republicans on board and a handful of Democrats, it won't pass. So that's the political dynamic that scares me. The Democratic majority in the House has gone so far to the left, and they've made a lot of promises on immigration. Sean, just take for instance what, you know, AOC, the Ocasio-Cortez, said on MSNBC last night. Here's Pelosi saying, you know, borders are immoral. But AOC, you know, the new socialist from up in New York, says not only that, we need to abolish ICE. Not only are we not going to fund the border, but we want to abolish ICE. We want to quit funding the very enforcement officers that keep us safe. That is just to illustrate how far, you know, to the left that they've gotten on this. And it's just hard to come back to the middle when you've said things like that. So I don't know. I would like to think that negotiations are still going on. I look to people like our own Senator Richard Shelby. He knows how to make deals. He knows how to negotiate. And he's the chairman of the Appropriations Committee. Man, I hope he's got some magic up his sleeve, because they are very far apart.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about this, I'm sure, next week, because I have a feeling it's not over anytime soon. People can read more about this, of course, when they go to Alabama Daily News. And you also say you like the response. You want to hear from us, the colony down here in Southwest Alabama.
I love getting feedback. You know, I send the email out every morning, and, you know, it's just my email address. So people reply all the time saying, hey, you got this right, or you got this wrong, or, hey, tell me more about this. And I love getting feedback. That's what it's all about. You know, we're not some kind of stuffy news organization. It's me and a couple of great team members putting together the news every day, you know, for you, for the reader. So, yeah, please hit me up.
There we go. As always, I appreciate his insight. Live from Montgomery, he's right there standing outside. Maybe he's in the State House now. Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News. We're coming right back. We'll grab some phone calls at 343-0106. Plus, we'll hear from President Trump himself.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5. Get some audio from just about 45 minutes ago from President Trump as he was signing an anti-human trafficking bill, but did comment a little bit on negotiations here with the Democrats. We'll get into that. Also, I want y'all to say hello to my buddy Angelo from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry and talk about what's happening at the shop, Angelo, as bills are coming due. All the fun of December often arrives with a bill in January.
Hey, we've seen a lot of people starting to stress a little bit, and it's been actually very pleasant in a strange way because they've been coming in with unwanted jewelry, some gold and silver, actually a lot of gold and silver bullion as well. And since we're paying so strong on so many of those items, a lot of folks are able to get the money they need to take care of those holiday bills, and all of a sudden, poof, that whole level of stress is gone. We love it.
Yeah, well, it's neat, too. You've described it, and I think this will resonate with people. You know, it's not just, hey, you have coins sitting around or something like that. Quite often, it's a piece of jewelry that never gets worn, or that one earring that you're pretty good chance you're never going to find the other earring. Anything like that, that has value.
Well, certainly. We have a gentleman, actually, that I'm working with right now when you call, and he has a plastic tote, huge plastic tote, full of stuff. Didn't know if any of it was worth money or not. Brought it in, and he's going to be walking away with a pretty nice fat check, and he doesn't even know the good news yet.
Hey, remind folks, too, you just mentioned it, which reminded me, speaking of stuff that you don't, you say it's just stuff, I don't know what it's worth, people in a situation with their own collection, or maybe, God forbid, they're dealing with their executor, an executrix of a will or something, y'all will give a independent opinion on the value of items before things get broken up or insured or something like that.
We certainly will, and that's a free appraisal, and we strongly recommend before you split anything out, if you're the executor of the estate or the executrix, come by Mobile Bay Coins, let us do that free appraisal, and we can either help you literally split it out completely into 2, 3, 4 packages, or if we need to buy some and split some, we'll work with you and make it easy, painless, and our responsibility, not yours, so you don't have relatives getting excited.
There you go. Give us some directions to come see you in the real world and online.
In the real world, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street, and you can always call us at 725-1590 or go on to Mobile Bay Coins and check out the new website.
Hey, thanks, Angelo. We'll check in soon.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins. All right, so here we are, and it was a day 17, day 18. That's when it's going to get bad, right? When the partial shutdown's gone on long enough that it's maybe not the political hot seat that it has been in past shutdowns. I think by Friday this will be the longest shutdown, I think. If not, it's coming very, very soon. And the question is, of course, how long will it last? That is our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. When do you think the government shutdown will end? We give you the choices: within a week, by the end of January, in 1 to 3 months, in 3 to 6 months, it won't reopen by the end of 2019, or the government will never reopen. Right now, within a week, none of y'all think it's going to open up this week. So that's zero. By the end of January, 40% of respondents have said by the end of January. The others have said 36%, 1 to 3 months. 16%, not so rosy with their forecast, 3 to 6 months. Of course, there are 8% of y'all say the government will never reopen. So there you go. We'd love to get your vote online, online opinion poll question, front page of FMTalk1065.com. All right, President Trump speaking, a little impromptu here after he was signing a anti-human trafficking bill, and had a few questions here about the shutdown, about getting government started back, and about paychecks. Let's go to this.
Mr. President, what do you say to those federal workers, security guards, Secret Service agents, TSA agents, who are now going without pay?
I think they have been terrific. These are terrific patriots. A lot of them agree with what I'm doing, and I hope we're going to have the situation worked out. But they want security in our country, and so do I. That's all we want. We want security. We want common sense. We want security in our country. When you look at what's going on, immigration just went to very high on your list. I saw even on your list. Immigration's very high on the list, but we're not talking about just immigration. And I would like, and I'll say it in front of some of our Democrat friends here, I would love to see a big immigration bill where we really take care of the situation. I know you want to. Everybody wants to. Who wouldn't want to? Right now we have a problem. We have to take care of this, and it's quicker and easier to do this individually. But we would like to see real immigration reform in this country, because we need it, and it could be a beautiful thing. And with all of the companies coming into our country, we have 7 car companies now that are announcing or have announced just recently, and we have many car companies and other companies, as you know, they're flowing in. We have the best job numbers virtually that we've ever had for African American, the best ever, Hispanic, Asian, the best ever. The best in 50 years in the overall number, and soon that's going to be beaten. So we have the best job numbers. We need people. We need great qualified people. We want them to come in. So I think it's a great time right now because of that. We need people, Rob. And I mean, in Ohio, you need workers. And I know you feel the same way. I know Chris. I mean, I'll speak for Chris, but everybody wants to see immigration reform. It's overdue. And it's always been very political, and maybe this will turn out to be a blessing in disguise. But, John, I will tell you this. The people out there want something to happen at our southern border, whether it's human trafficking, whether it's drugs, whether it's criminals, whether it's MS-13. The folks behind me know all about MS-13 and how violent and vicious they are and where they come from. And they all come from the same place, and they all come in the same way. They come right across that border. And we've thrown thousands out. I would say thousands, right, fellas? I mean, literally MS-13, and you have a lot of it. I know that, Rich. We throw thousands out a year, and then they come back. And we move them all the way back to where they came from, all the way back. And they find a way to come back again. We need strong borders, and we need immigration reform. Beyond that, we need immigration reform.
But these people have to go without their paychecks. They're being, some are being forced to work without pay. Some have been furloughed.
They're all going to get the money, and I think they're going to be happy. And I will tell you, and I say it often, many of those people that you're talking about, so humanly, the way you express it, but many of those people that you talk about are on my side. I've had so many people. The beautiful thing is, with social media, the world can write to you. And you take a look at social media. So many of those people are saying, it's very hard for me, it's very hard for my family. But, Mr. President, you're doing the right thing. Get it done. I've had so many of them. They're patriots. They love our country. And they want to see it be done. Look, this is just common sense. They want to see it be done correctly. We need a barrier. We have to stop people from coming in the way they come in. And if we don't have it, you can never have border security unless you have a steel barrier, a concrete wall, you can call it whatever you want, but without it, you'll never have, you can have the greatest talent in the world, you will never, ever, in a million years, you will not have border security. Can't happen.
Mr. President, what's your current thinking on a national emergency? Why didn't you announce it last night, and when might you?
Because I think we might work a deal, and if we don't, I may go that route. I have the absolute right to do national emergency if I want.
What's your threshold for when you might make a deal?
My threshold will be if I can't make a deal with people that are unreasonable.
What's your message to the Republicans who are now on Capitol Hill saying?
Oh, I think we have tremendous Republican support. I tell you what, I just spoke to a few of the people in the House. We have tremendous support. The Senate has been incredible. Mitch McConnell has been incredible. He said, if the president's not going to sign it, I'm not going to waste my time. And, I mean, Rob Portman's here, he can tell you, he's very strong on border security. We have tremendous support in the Senate. We have tremendous support in the House. And by the way, you know, they say, oh, is it true that somebody's, you know, a congressman, he broke away? Okay. Yeah, every once in a while you're going to have that. But you know who else has that? The Democrats have that, too, because they have their people breaking away, too. You know why? Because they know you need border security. But you don't report that. But the fact is that there's tremendous support. I would know, without support, I would be the first one to know. I may be the last one, too. But there is tremendous support. Right now, if I did something that was foolish, like gave up on border security, the first ones that would hit me are my senators. They'd be angry at me. The second ones would be the House. And the third ones would be, frankly, my base and a lot of Republicans out there and a lot of Democrats that want to see border security. Okay, what else? Any questions?
So why not sign the other bills, though, so some of these workers can get paid, the government...
You think I should do that?
No,
do you think I should do that, John?
Well, I mean, it's not for me.
I mean, I watch your one-sided reporting. Do you think I should do that? Hey, John. No, seriously, John, do you think I should just sign...
Well, the argument
No, tell me, tell me. John, do you think I should just sign?
I'm saying that if you sign that, these workers can start getting paid. The government can
so
start...
So you would do that if you were in my position, you'd do that?
I'm not in your position. I'm asking you if that's something you...
I'm asking you, would you do that if you were in my position? Because if you would do that, you should never be in this position. Because you'd never get anything done. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you very much. Thank you.
There it is. Pure Trump. Couldn't be more pure Trump than that in that little presser. Interesting angle, too. He said it before, and it's been said of him, but he's referring to it there. Think about that. Why would he move on this? And this is why I think nothing's going to get done for a while. Why would he move? Because he, a few weeks ago, actually acted like he wasn't going to hold firm with the $5 billion, remember? And he got a big pushback from his base, from other Republicans on that, right? And then he's heard from the people telling him to do this. The Democrats aren't going to like him. There's not that many people undecided out there that are going to rally to his support. So why wouldn't he stick to his guns on this? We'll talk about it when we get back right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Put your mittens on your kittens, and away we go. Here we go. 1251 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. A shortened show today because Auburn Hoops comes on at 6 o'clock tonight. So my buddy Cam Barston, whose show runs at 6 o'clock, What's Working, he's going to be doing his show in just a few minutes at about 1:05. His show starts so next hour right here during the second hour slot of Midday Mobile. But we'll be back tomorrow morning bright and early for Mobile Mornings. And remember, check us out online, fmtalk1065.com. Get the three big things, top news stories of the day, also online opinion poll question, show schedules, all that good stuff over at fmtalk1065.com, plus some great stories on our Facebook page right now. Check that out. And on the Twitter feed, one of the things you'll see on the Twitter feed, some activity about the Airbus press release here. You've got a presser. Here it is, and we'll talk about this in detail in just a second. It says Delta Airlines has ordered 15 additional A220 aircraft, bringing to 90 the total number of new generation, highly fuel-efficient jetliners the world's second-largest airline has on order. The additional orders are the airline's first for the 300 model. Delta also converted the earlier A220 orders to the larger 300, bringing to 50 the number of A220 and 300s on order. So this is from Airbus. Obviously, big deal and news for us right here in Mobile and Baldwin counties. And in addition, I saw Katerina Lukatich's story over, I think it was Katerina, or somebody, maybe she posted it up. It was a News 5 story that just pointed out that Airbus will be hiring for its new A220 assembly line this week. So the company expects to hire 600 employees for the newest final assembly line planned for the port city. Y'all, that's something. That's either you or a friend or kinfolk or something. I hire 600 new people in our area. You're probably going to know somebody. That's pretty big stuff here. Aircraft, they go on to say here, final assembly line plan for the port city. Aircraft structure installation mechanics, installers for aircraft cabin furnishings, and aircraft electricians are needed in the first wave of production hirings. So there you go. Good news there. So we'll put that story up on the Twitter feed as well. That's a pile of jobs. Great, great story. And I know Governor Ivey was down here today. I know she was at E.R. Dixon doing some early childhood education stuff. I don't know if she has made mention of that big business story. Also, somebody asking about, said something to mention about Larry Langford. You know, that was in my, and that's Dave. Hey, Dave. Yeah, that was in my show notes, actually. And I was going to talk with Todd Stacey about it. But I wondered how, it's so weird, the same way I lament that we seem like a colony of the state of Alabama sometimes, you know, that we don't get the attention from North and Central Alabama, even though places like Baldwin County, places like Mobile County are the cash cows for the state. And so I didn't know how, but at the same time, we're not exactly tuned into everything that goes on in politics to the North. But I will make mention of it because it is a name that you probably should know if you've watched Alabama politics and Birmingham politics. Former Birmingham Mayor Larry Langford has died now. It was last night. He was age 72. His death comes a little more than a week after he was released early from federal prison due to failing health. Basically, they let him out to go home and die, was the story. Langford was, of course, as Todd Stacey says over at AL Daily News, was a larger-than-life political figure in Alabama for many years, serving as the mayor of Fairfield and president of the Jefferson County Commission, and then the mayor of Birmingham. He was a charismatic leader who knew how to grab a headline. Think about these. If you watch what went on in the Magic City over the years, and Todd writes, the Olympics to Birmingham? Sure. A Pentagon in Fairfield? Yep. Build a domed stadium even without an NFL team? Let's do it. Those were all things, by the way, Larry Langford had pushed. He had a reputation as a fast and loose politician. Remember, he got lucky at the slots way back. Remember how that, I just happened to get lucky gambling. It wasn't bribery money, except he eventually got convicted of bribery back in 2009. So there it is, passing of a big name in Birmingham politics and to some degree a name you should know in Alabama, Larry Langford, passing away at age 72. He wasn't just the mayor. Like a lot of people remember, he's the mayor of Birmingham, but he had a lot of other things, you know, from his county commission stuff to his work in Fairfield. Oh, Derek, I see your text. I was going to hold that over until tomorrow. That was also, Derek, in the show notes. I can give you a little sneak peek at this. We'll probably tackle this tomorrow when we have a little more time. And I can get my feelings all together. I can get in touch with my feelings about this maybe before we start talking about it. Headline here, traditional masculinity deemed harmful could lead to sexual harassment, according to medical groups. Derek, I appreciate you posted this up on Facebook yesterday. This is not just because sometimes people in this business, talk radio, will find a story that shows up on the most cockamamie blog out there and act like it's coming from a major group or news agency when it's not. It's like anybody, like somebody in their basement posted it up. But this comes from the American Psychological Association, the APA. They've now released guidelines concerning men and boys, saying that so-called, quote, traditional masculinity, end quote, is not only harmful, but also could lead to homophobia and sexual harassment. Goes on to say here in this press release from the American Psychological Association, once again, there's not somebody in their basement, says the main thrust of the subsequent research is that traditional masculinity, marked by stoicism, competitiveness, dominance, and aggression, is on the whole harmful. So we will tackle this story more coming up tomorrow. We have time to get in there. But it's a idea that just being a dude, it's not being bad. Like, there's a lot of bad dudes doing bad things. That's just being bad. That's not being masculine. When people try to say, I'm just being masculine. No, you're being a jerk. But basic things about being a dude. Now it's not somebody just blogging in their basement. You have the APA coming out and saying it could lead to sexual harassment and a lot more. Now, that's being bad. You can be at the top of the masculine scale and you don't go harass people. I put the story up. You can do your reading before tomorrow. It's up on the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5, which is a very macho Twitter feed as they go. It's all right. I will kick back with you and listen to What's Working with Cam Barson. It's on next. Then Feinbaum, 6 o'clock tonight. Auburn Hoops in conference gets started right here on FM Talk 106.5. Y'all have a great one.